Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation in the book of Luke. And still joined with Caleb. Caleb, you're kind of becoming like the marathon man.
Yeah, you know, just sticking with it. The other kids just, they don't have what it takes, I guess.
They just don't have that same commitment to the Bible, I guess.
Hey, I didn't say it.
Here we are in Luke chapter 13 and verse 18. Jesus has just done this great miracle, healing this woman with the infirmity for 18 years. And the Bible says, "Then said he, unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it?" So Jesus is kind of thinking out loud in front of the people, saying, how can I explain this? What would be a good way for you to understand this?
Yeah.
And then he gives a couple different illustrations. In verse 19, he says, it's like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again, he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It's like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. So Jesus uses two very common illustrations in that day, a mustard seed, very, very small, and yet when it grows, becomes a very big tree, and then leaven, yeast, which is very, very small, but it's active, it's an active ingredient that makes what it touches something that's much, much bigger, like the loaf of bread. So what is Jesus teaching about the kingdom of God when he uses these two illustrations?
Yeah, so, you know, when Jesus is using, you know, the mustard seed and the leaven, you know, he's talking about something, you know, something that's small, both of them, but they have a great effect, and that they reach, you know, far, and it has great impact, and it affects everything that it touches. You know, and then it has, you know, a great influence there.
So it starts small. So when you first see it,
yeah,
it might not seem impressive.
Mm-hmm.
When you first see it, it might even go unnoticed. But what does the mustard seed do? It eventually becomes something that is highly profitable, highly valuable, like bread, like you just said. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples and others, and the point is, you know, right now, my ministry might not seem impressive. You know, the kingdom to the Jew was the time when Messiah would occupy a throne.
Yeah.
It's the time when Messiah would throw off all oppression, including Roman oppression. And even in addition to that, Messiah will rule the world, and Israel will finally have its rightful spot as the capital of the world. So they saw that as the kingdom. So Jesus, in essence, is saying, I'm not saying that all those things will not come to pass. I'm just saying, don't disesteem how the kingdom begins. You know, that this is going to be something that might appear to be small right now. We miss it when it's small. We don't value it when it's small. But what is an acorn? Yeah, it is an oak tree.
Yeah.
It is an oak tree. It just hasn't had time yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is that yeast? It is that active ingredient. It's going to produce that, but it hasn't had that time yet. So the kingdom is small. It can be missed, and it's going to take time to develop. I think those are the two principles here that Jesus is teaching.
Right. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's such a, you know, that the parable or the illustration that he uses is, you know, something that, you know, is definitely applicable to, and something that the disciples, you know, if you put yourself in their shoes, would definitely, you know, would resonate with them, you know, because Jesus keeps speaking about this kingdom to them. And, you know, they love Jesus and they're following him. But as they look around, there's not that many people that are following Jesus.
Especially
so Jesus, if it's so great.
Right, especially as his ministry unfolds.
Right. Yeah.
Because he goes through those times of popularity.
Yeah.
But toward the end, it seems like it's getting small again.
Yeah.
And these disciples can't get off this idea of who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. They're still thinking physical. They're still thinking big. They're still thinking powerful.
Yeah.
And they're not seeing it, are they?
No, they're not. They're thinking of it being right now. But Jesus is speaking, hey, you know, it's now is not the time. You know, that I will one day come back and rule and reign, but it's not right now in the kingdom of God. You know, as you said, right now in Jesus' ministry is small, and you be careful, you know, you might miss it, but it will continue to grow.
And so what would be the application for even us as New Testament believers?
Yeah, so as of today, we need to understand that, you know, there is in the previous verses and parables that we've been discussing, it's like, hey, we need to be seeking the kingdom of God. We need to be looking forward to it. Christ can return at any time. But, you know,
and those
the kingdom
decisions
of God
might seem insignificant
right,
now.
Yeah, those things that we're doing now, we don't necessarily always see, you know, that mustard seed grow. We don't always necessarily see that acorn become the oak tree. We might see some growth, but we need to, you know, be assured of the fact that the investment that we're putting in now will reap great eternal benefits, and we will be a part of the kingdom of God one day, but we need to keep that faith.
So stay the course.
Yeah.
Don't get discouraged because you don't see it today.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get discouraged because it seems so small today. See the value in the seed itself.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, a teenager can be graduated from high school and, boy, all my friends, they're doing this and that, and they're popular. Look at how much money they're making. Look at this job. And I'm just doing, hey, see the value in the seed. See the value in the yeast. See the value to know what it's going to become when you invest in God's work. Mm. And I think the next teaching of Jesus really extenuates that whole idea, because it says in verse 22, and he went through the cities and villages teaching, journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Straight means narrow. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last.
Hmm.
So Jesus is making it very clear that the kingdom is a narrowly entered place.
Yeah.
Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And of course, what is that straight gate? What is that narrow way? Jesus himself.
Yeah.
I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the door of the sheep. You know, by me, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. So is salvation a very narrow thing? Absolutely.
Mm.
But don't confuse narrow with inaccessible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's a great building upon what Jesus just stated, because, you know, he's saying the kingdom of God, you know, might seem small or insignificant, you know, but that thing that seems small or insignificant, you know, the kingdom of God right now, it's me, it's my ministry. But if you believe in me, you know, it's still accessible, the kingdom of God. If you believe in me, then, you know, you will have, you know, the kingdom of God one day. But those that don't, you know, he says, you know, there's going to be the weeping and gnashing of teeth. And he talks about that separation from God. And but then he sums it up. But he's saying, and behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. And just building upon, hey, it is worth it. It might seem insignificant, the investment, the internal investment you have today in believing in me. And you might not see, you know, the greatness of the kingdom of God, but it is going to be something that is worth it all in the end, because ultimately you will have that relationship with me forever. And those that seem least on earth that are seeking the kingdom of God, they shall be first in eternity.
I think there are two warnings built in to the passage. One is that familiarity with God is not relationship with God. Hey, Lord, we've eaten in your presence. We've heard you teach in the streets. I mean, come on, Lord, Lord. Yeah. That's a term of endearment. Uh-huh. We feel warm to you. But just having a familiarity with God, or having been exposed to the teachings of God, or having knowledge about God, doesn't mean that one is saved. And so familiarity sometimes is the drug that people take and then erroneously think that they have this relationship, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And then he even adds to that there are people that will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the prophets. In other words, these are Jewish people that grew up knowing the Bible, that grew up with great privileges, but they don't know the Lord. So being saved is not a matter of being familiar with God or even familiar with the things of God. Being saved is not even a matter of growing up in the right home, or growing up knowing about God, or growing up with a certain spiritual pedigree. You know, my mom plays the piano, my dad's the deacon, I'm the pastor's kid. None of that matters.
Yeah.
What matters is, have you entered in at that narrow door?
Mm.
The door's available.
Yeah,
I mean, there it is. Jesus is the way, but he is the only way, and he is a narrow way. And that's the way by which we come in. It might not look as attractive, just like that mustard seed that doesn't look big, that yeast, it doesn't look impressive. But that entryway might look like a back alley, single door entrance, not the big, wide, expansive gate of the main auditorium, but that's the way in. That's the way in.
Right. Yeah. And the gospel doesn't play favorites with people. It doesn't matter, as we stated, who you are, what you've done, or what you've accomplished. We all have to come to a point where we walk through that straight gate.
Right. And Jesus made the prediction that many will come from the east and the west, and the north and the south. So the gospel is a universal thing. Its influence and its message will extend to the whole world. And the least likely people, that's how he ends this parable. The least likely people are going to be the people that are saved. The people that you think would be are not.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really have to come back to our own heart, don't we?
Right. Yeah. It ultimately has to come to the point where we understand that we ourselves, you know, who we are what we've accomplished is not good enough. We have to humble ourselves and enter that straight gate through Jesus.
Amen. So, my friends, we don't say a whole lot about it because our assumption on this podcast is that those of you that are listening know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can go back to a time and a place in your life when you repented, invested faith in Christ. But I'm not going to make that assumption today. I'm going to say this to you. If you have never come to God through the person of Jesus Christ, the only way, the straight way, the narrow way, the only way, then today's your day. Behold, now is the accepted time. Hmm. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Just find a quiet spot. Kneel down. Tell the Lord that you're sorry for your sin, that you realize that you are a sinner. Invite him to come into your life, to become your personal Lord and Savior. Trust him alone. His work on the cross was sufficient for you. He was buried. He rose again in victory over sin, over death, over the grave. The gospel is the good news that he can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Come through that door today, my friends. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's a great promise. It's your promise, but you must act upon it today. God bless you, my friends. Appreciate you joining us, and I look forward to spending some time with you again next episode.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.